Radio City Talk.
The A to Z of Merseyside football.
So it's time to take a look at the A to Z of Merseyside football once again with John Keith. And we're slightly going off the rails today on something a little bit different. We've been doing some of the wonderfully named players, which have included Steven Gerrard and Andy Gray. But now we're going where, John?
Well, Steve, good morning. Our next entry is not a person, but something everyone in football now just takes for granted: goal nets. And for those, we can be thankful to a Liverpool resident who left a legacy that will endure, obviously, as long as the game is played, a certain John Alexander Brodie. I can hear you asking, who? Mm-hmm. Well, he was the man who invented goal nets. Now, just imagine what football must have been like without them. The arguments that ensued over whether shots or headers had passed between the frame or had gone wide. No net to stop it, so you had to. It was really depending on your eye. Well, it was just such a situation that Brodie's brainchild was born. Brodie himself came from Shropshire of Scottish descent, but he arrived in Liverpool as a 17-year-old in 1875 to take up an apprenticeship in the Mersey Docks and Harbour Board engineering department, and that began a career that was to have a profound impact on Liverpool as a city and football. He was appointed Liverpool City Engineer in 1898. His professional credits were huge. He oversaw the 9-year construction of the Mersey Tunnel. He designed and built Queen's Drive, the UK's first ring road, and the East Lancashire Road, then the country's first intercity highway, and also laid the groundwork for the city's electric trams.
Clever lad then, John.
This was an inspired engineering gentleman. Further afield, his reputation as a town planner led to his invitation to help select the site and draw up plans for New Delhi, and he travelled to India for the opening ceremony. But in football terms, you could call him a net prophet. A keen sportsman and talented rugby player in his younger days, Brodie was an Everton fan, and it was while watching one of their earliest league games, a 2-2 draw with Accrington Stanley at Anfield, which was then Everton's home, on October the 26th, 1889, that he had his eureka moment. Now, in the modern age of VAR technology, it seems incongruous that during that era there were no goal nets to retain the ball, and heated disputes often arose in the game over whether a ball had gone between or past the post. That day, there was a really major row over two disallowed goals, the referee twice ruling the ball had passed wide of the post before it landed amongst the spectators. But fans, convinced that the ball had gone between the posts on both occasions and goals should have been awarded, reacted furiously, and Brodie himself had to rescue the match officials from a baying mob. The situation inspired him to come up with the revolutionary proposal for nets to be attached to the goal frame. The very next day, he took out patent papers and he formally submitted a patent application in Liverpool on November the 27th, 1889, and nets were first used that year in a match between Nottingham Forest and Bolton Wanderers. So the next time you see the net bulge from a shot or a header, just remember the idea was born in Liverpool thanks to John Brodie, who had the city's Brodie Avenue named in his honour and is also remembered by an English Heritage blue plaque at his former home at 28 Ullett Road, where he lived until his death at 76 in 1934. Now then, Steve, it's very fitting our next entrant in the letter G follows on neatly from the arrival of goal nets, because Everton's Fred Geary, later also of Liverpool, was the first player to score into an officially FA-sanctioned net. I know, these are all in the record. When he struck after 12 seconds, he didn't waste much time, of an England trial match between North and South at Nottingham Forest's former town ground in January 1891. Nottinghamshire-born centre-forward Geary stood only 5'2" and weighed 9 stone 6, but was a fast, lethal marksman. As a youngster, he'd won a batch of sprint titles, and he kept that amazing ability as a footballer. He joined Everton from Notts Rangers in August 1889 and scored twice on his debut against Blackburn the following month. Now, Geary was a man of many firsts, credited the following January with another place in the record books by hitting the club's first FA Cup hat-trick. Confirmation of that, however, is unavailable, as two other players, Alec Brady and Alf Millwood, also scored trebles in that 11-2 rout of Derby, and no goal times have been permanently recorded. There's no doubt, though, that Geary was the first Everton player to score 20 or more goals in a season. He hit 21 in 18 league appearances in 1889-90 and 25 in 20 games overall. He also starred in Everton's first league title campaign of 1890-91. He scored 20 goals in an ever-present 22 outings and also collected 2 England caps, teaming up for his country with clubmates Edgar Chadwick and Alf Millwood, who we mentioned earlier. He scored a hat-trick on his international debut in a 9-1 win over Ireland in Belfast and also played for the Football League. Now, off the field, Geary represented Lancashire at bowls, but on the football field he was spot-on with a superb scoring ratio. He hit Everton's first ever league goal at the new Goodison Park home in a 2-2 draw with Nottingham Forest on Saturday, September the 3rd, 1892, and he totalled 86 goals in 99 appearances. That's incredible. It's not far short of a goal a game. 86 in 99 appearances before Liverpool, who were then only 3 years old, stepped in to sign him. Liverpool paid £60 for Geary. £60. I know money's changed, but even so, it was a piddling amount, wasn't it? In May 1895, and he helped them win promotion and collected a second division championship medal in his first season with 11 goals in 19 appearances. He scored 14 goals in 45 Liverpool outings before injury forced his retirement at the age of 31 in 1899, and then he returned to Everton as a groundsman. Despite becoming a teetotaler, he was a pub licensee for 25 years, spanning the end of the First World War and the end of the Second, and he died in Liverpool in 1955, leaving an impressive scoring legacy from the early days of Merseyside football. So that was Fred Geary.
Absolutely amazing. £60. What would you get for £60 these days? You couldn't even buy the ball, could you?
Hardly get into the ground for £60, would you?
Or if you did, you'd be right at the back.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Oh.
So that was Fred Geary. So that's goal nets and Fred Geary, Steve.
Goal nets, it seems an easy thing to say, but it seems obvious, doesn't it?
It does.
Put some nets up, stop the ball going,
I know.
Understand whether the ball's gone between the posts.
And football had been played for years before he came up with the idea of it. So it's quite amazing, isn't
and
it?
And even on the continent as well, they weren't being used at the time.
No. Right. Well, of course, English football predated most of the continent anyway. I'm writing this and having done stuff before about Brody, it seemed the bloody obvious, didn't it, that we needed goal nets, and they weren't there. But what struck me was how many times there's been punch-ups and referees having to run off a pitch quickly, with spectators seeing quite clearly the ball had gone in or out, depending which their allegiances were, and the referee having to make a quick getaway, you know?
Amazing. And the other thing, it struck me when you said he got it patented, the idea.
Yes.
So does he still own, the family still own that patent?
He actually sold the patent.
To the FA or someone else?
And the FA then took the patent over and they then officially sanctioned them, yeah. Which is where Fred Geary came in as the first player to score after the FA had given its official blessing.
Brilliant.
But Fred
stuff.
Geary's amazing with all the firsts he's got in his career.
Completely. And maybe a name that people don't know too much about.
Yes.
John, fantastic. Thank you very much indeed.
Steve.
Who else is on the G list?
Well, next week we've got Gary Gillespie. And I think Thomas Graverson.
Super stuff. Gillespie, who played his part in the 9-0, of course. I think on A Match of My Life, he did. He picked out that as his favourite game because he scored.
And he also, as a centre-back, scored a hat-trick in a match for Liverpool.
We'll tell you more next week. It's the A to Z of Merseyside Football with John Keith.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Radio City Talk.